توفيق عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is the last week of the year 1437 in the Islamic calendar. We're just about 2 days away from the beginning of Muharram, and the Azaf of Sayyid al-Shuhada will start on Sunday night. While we are getting ready for the Azaf of Sayyid al-Shuhada, probably this is the moment to mentally prepare ourselves in order to understand what was the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and so that we can maximize the Azaf that we will go through, inshallah, during the months of Muharram and Safar. The purpose of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was very clear. We don't need anyone else to tell us why Imam Hussein alayhi salam took this stand against Yazid. We don't need any historical analysis there. We don't need philosophers or social, philosophers on this issue, because Hussein ibn Ali himself, before he left Medina, left a written document in form of a will, not the normal kind of will that we write. And he left that with his brother Muhammad Hanafiya. And that was actually a will to do with the issue of why he is doing this. It was basically a mission statement of Hussein's movement. After the preamble, where he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, summarizes the teachings of Islam in a way, then he, talks about himself. And it's interesting, if you look at the main part of the will, I can divide that into four sentences. The first one starts with negative. Very much like our kalima, starts with la ilaha, before you reach to illallah. And in the first statement, Hussein ibn Ali negates any motivations which will be ascribed to him later on. There are people, scholars of Darbar, in order to appease the rulers of their own times, they say, na'uzu billah, Hussein was rebellious. We have people even now, Zakir Naik and others who make this kind of statements that he, rebelled against the ruler and the Khalifa of the time. And this is where Imam makes it very clear. Lam akhruj ashiran wala bataran wala zaliman wala mufsida. He negates four things. Number one, he says, I'm not an adventure-seeking person. Ashiran here, this is a loose translation I'm making here. It's not somebody, just impulsively out of emotion has taken this stand. If this was the case, he would not be taking his own, children and women with him. Wala bataran, nor did he did this in order to show his pride and arrogance. Wala zaliman wala mufsidan. He did not even do this to be unjust to anyone. And he didn't want to create any facade and chaos in the society. And so what was the purpose? Why did he take this stand? This is where we come to the second sentence, which is the positive one. إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِسْلَاةِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. And the إِنَّمَا there is an emphasis that my only reason for, standing up against Yazid, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِسْلَاةِ, in order to seek reformation of the community of my grandfather. And going further, he wants to justify that what is the religious principle of that, of what I'm doing. He says, أُرِيدَ أَنْ أَأْمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَعَنْهِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. What I'm doing actually is I'm promoting ma'ruf, good in the society, and forbidding what is evil in the society. So Imam basically based his movement on the principles of Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Al-Nahy al-Munkar, which are the most important principles in the, for an Islamic society. And just further, you know, that nobody should consider the stand of Ali, of Hussein, to be an innovation or a bid'ah. You know, he relates that. And he says, وَأَسِيرَ بِسِيرَةِ جَدِّي وَعَبِي عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبِ. In doing this, I'm not doing anything new. I'm just following the path of my grandfather, the Prophet, and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so we don't need to go here and there to find out why did Imam Hussain alayhi salam do this. You know, it's there in his own writing, very clear, giving the reason, you know, rejecting any false motivations ascribed to him later on, giving the shari'i basis for what he is doing, and even giving a precedence that what I'm doing is actually in line with what my grandfather and my father had done. And so the mission of Imam can be summarized in two words from this wasiyyat, and that is talabul islah, to seek reformation, Islam. What does reform mean here? To reform what? Hussein is very clear. He is not talking about reforming the faith. He is not talking about reforming Islam. He is talking about reforming the Ummah. It is the Ummah which has deviated from Islam. It is the Ummah which has gone into fasad, and therefore there is a need for Islam and to bring it back to the principles of the faith. And this is actually an ongoing process. Sometimes many, you know, important events in history happens and we say this is a movement of reform. But we have to realize that reform actually is an ongoing process. Life is constant struggle to improve ourselves, individually as well as a community. And what is the meaning of reform? To make ourselves better. And when we talk about a Muslim, you know, seeking to reform himself or herself, what does it mean? Basically, becoming true to our own name. Our name is Muslim. Muslim means somebody who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a reformation here means that we have to work harder to better submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not an issue of, you know, trying to, you know, adjust here and there in the faith in order to accommodate what we want. We actually have to adjust ourselves to bring ourselves in line with what Islam is saying. And that is where, you know, sometimes people go on the wrong track of reformation. According to Allama Iqbal, where he says, you know, where he talks about, خُدْ بَدَلْتَي نَهِي قُرْآنَ كُو بَدَلْ دَيْتَي. They don't want to change themselves. They want to change the Quran. And so here, Hussein is very clear. إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. He is seeking to reform the Ummah and not the deen of his grandfather. Salawat man ekbar. And so basically, we have to see during these months of Muharram and Safar, you know, look at ourselves on a personal level, our commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in form of the prayers that we do, the issue of fasting during the month of Ramadan, the commitment that we have with Him in our maal, our wealth, as far as charities are concerned, how we earn our livelihood, how we spend what we earn. All these are personal issues that we have to look at ourselves and make ourselves better in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a social level, not just as an individual, but a member of a community, we have to see, you know, what is our outlook towards the fellow Shias. Remember last week or the week before, we talked about this concept of tawalla. Tawalla doesn't only mean to love the Ahlul Bayt, but also to love those who love the
Ahlul Bayt.
And that is an important element which is missed out. When what is our, you know, level of concern as far as the global ummah is concerned? This is beyond the scope of Shia, you know, the link of villa that we have towards the Ahlul Bayt. What is our perspective about humanity at large? We live in a society where majority of the people around us are non-Muslims. These are the issues on a social level we have to see how better we can, you know, change ourselves. If I may just leave for you that what is the purpose of Azaf Sayyid al-Shuhada? I will say there are three R's. Remember that, three R's. One is remind ourselves of the Islamic values. This is when you go to the majalis, when you listen to the lectures. Many things you say, well, I know. Yes, you know. Quran from the beginning to the end doesn't always talk about new things. There are many stories repeated again, many issues repeated again, and this is where we have to realize we have to be, you know, reminded again and again. When you go in an airplane journey, what happens? You know, you have this special announcement, everybody pay attention, put on your seat belt, how to put it, what to do when there is turbulence, what is allowed, what is not allowed. They repeat it every, you know, journey. And you say, what is this, you know? I travel every week. Yes, you travel every week, but passengers have to be reminded. Where there is more danger, the reminder has to be repeated again and again. And so, yes, many things you hear in the majalis are repeats. But that is for our benefit. So the first thing is to remind ourselves about the Islamic values. Number two, the second R would be reflect on our level of religiosity and to compare with the graph where we are, the graph of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we at 25% or 50% or 75%? If you are 100%, well, you know, that's the day Allah will say, good, come. But at least we should see where we are on that graph and how, you know, higher we can move. And that's the issue of reflecting on this issue. And then comes the issue of reforming ourselves. That after you have looked at the graph, you know, then you start changing, bringing about changes in your own life so that we can become better abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reminding, reflecting, and reforming. Salawat wa akbar. Let me end this khutbah with a sentence from the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, which has been taught to us by our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Where he says, when you address Hussein in one of the ziyarat, where you are saying, Ya da'i ilallah, O the one who is calling us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in kana lam yujibka badani in istighasatika wa lisani in istinsarik. O Hussein, I didn't live those days. I came later on, centuries after Karbala. So physically, I could not respond to your call of help. When you said, Hal min nasirin yansuruna. But then, the sixth Imam is saying, although you come later on, you can still respond to him. فَقَدْ أَجَابَكَ قَلْبِي وَسَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَرَأْيِي وَحَوَائِي عَلَى التَّصْلِيمِ. But O Imam, addressing Imam Hussein, that my heart is responding to you. My ears are responding to you. My eyes are responding to you. Ra'yi, my opinion and views are responding to you. And wahawa'i, and my, you know, likes, my inclinations, my desires are responding to you ala taslim, by submitting to you and your call. And so remember that, you know, yes, the voice was there on the day of Ashura, but the response can be given even now. And this is where, you know, the sixth Imam is saying that we have to mentally submit to that mission of Imam Hussain alayhi salam even now. And that will be the true meaning of the Azadari of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المظلمين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. I talked about the issue of looking at ourselves on a social level, how we, you know, think about our own fellow Shias or the global Ummah or the humanity at large. And this is where we have to realize that we live in a community where we have people of all different kinds. Just to emphasize on that point and keeping an example of saying in mind, see, in our relationship, especially as a community, there are three circles around us. One is the inner circle. And within that inner circle, you have the Shias of Ahlul Bayt, linked to you on the basis of the wila and the law for the Ahlul Bayt. You don't make a choice. Anyone who has this law for Ahlul Bayt, you are linked to that person. And then there is a second middle circle beyond that. And that is the circle of the Muslim Ummah. Whoever says La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, you know, that person becomes your Muslim brother or sister. And then there is this bigger outer circle of humanity at large, those who are outside the fold of Islam. What is our perspective about our interaction with those who are in the inner circle, in the middle one, and the outer one? And I'll just would like to leave with you, I talked about the three R's in the first khutbah: reminding, reflecting, and reforming. These are three alifs. When you look at the inner circle of those who are related to you through the Ahlul Bayt, they also believe in the same imams. There, the basis of our interaction is on the basis of ithar. Ithar, which means the willingness to sacrifice for one another. That is the demand of wila. When you talk about mu'mineen being brothers of one another, you know, that is the basis, that we should be willing to sacrifice for one another. When you look at the global ummah, there the demand would be infaq, to be charitable, to be kind, to be benevolent towards them because of that relationship of Islam. And then when we talk about the outer circle of humanity, the minimum demand that we have as Muslims is that upon ourselves is the issue of insaf, Be just and fair in dealing with them. This is the minimum I'm talking about. So you have ithar for the first circle, infaq for the second one, and insaf for the third one. And when we look at it, this is where we have to realize, especially in this part of the world when we deal with non-Muslims. You know, sometimes we say, oh, what have we to do with them? No. Sometimes even when we talk about charitable cause, these issues come up. Of course, there are issues about what kind of funds you can use, what you can't use. But the basic principle of helping others is still there. And this is where we have to realize, you know, you look at the example of Imam Hussein bin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. In his journey from Mecca, ending up in Karbala, you know, he went through different stations. Those days when people would travel, there were manazil. Manzil is just to make the concept very easy. When we travel by car, you know, there are many points along the way where you have this facility, you know, to stop, refuel your car, fill yourself if you're hungry. You know, sometimes there is even a park at the back if you want to rest. You know, give some time for your children to relax before they sit again in the car and then continue the journey. So these are the manazil, where you know, rest area. Those days in the caravans, you know, the manazil were mostly related to the places where they can actually get water. So they will come to one manzil, and the guide would know that reaching to the next manzil takes, let's say, 2 days or just 1 day. So depending on the time that they have till the next manzil, they will just take enough water for that portion of the journey, because they didn't want to overburden their own camels with the water bags. Otherwise, their speed will decrease. And this is where when Imam reaches to the point known as Sharaf. Early in the morning, he told the caravan to be ready, and the young men, volunteers in that group, who were in charge for filling the water bags, Imam calls them specially, and he says, this is Tabari, not even a Shia source I'm talking about. The famous historian Tabari says, on that day, Hussein specially instructed them that take extra water. Those who deny ilm ghaib of the imam, this is one example. What happened? You know, the caravan continues. And this is where, after some time along the way, you know, imam's caravan met the cavalry force of Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Under the command of Hur, there were about 1,000 horsemen. And when he came, and you know the rest of the story, that Imam noticed that the soldiers, as well as their horses, were thirsty. It seems that this thirst was so visible that Imam didn't even have to ask. They didn't even have to say. Immediately, Imam says, "Isqa al-qawm wa'aruhum min al-ma' wa-rashifu al-khayl tarshifa." He turns to his young people. And remember, looking at the army, they already, you know, ready with their sword and anything, because they didn't know, you know, what's going to happen. But when Imam looked at the situation, he says, you know, give them water to them and their horses to quench their thirst. And it's interesting that in that narration of Tabari, you know, the last rider, he came at the end, and all other, you know, young men were still busy. And so Imam saw him. Hussein ibn Ali himself takes a water bag and goes to him. You know, and he gave him water and to his horse there. And this is where we have to realize that Hussein ibn Ali didn't ask Hur, have you come as an enemy or a friend? He just looked at his condition and the condition of his, you know, soldiers. that they are thirsty. And this is where we have to realize when we are talking about, you know, going beyond the call of duty. When you are looking at a human being who is, you know, thirsty, you don't say, oh, you're a Shia, you're a Muslim, are you from our qawm or nation, you speak our language? No. You just deal with them on the level of humanity, especially when we talk about water. You know, because water is something, let me just, you know, it's anyway, Karbala is very close to us now. On the day of Ashura, Hussein also pleaded for water, but he didn't ask for food. Were they not hungry? You see, when you ask for food, it is kind of a sign of humility. You feel very humbled in a way. But when it comes to water, everybody knows there is no shame in asking for water, because this is something on which the life of a human being depends. So a person might have self-respect and hungry, not ask and beg for food, but when it comes to water, they will do that. And this is where we have to realize, you know, the standard that Hussein ibn Ali is showing to us. That when you see somebody in this situation, you just give them water. Don't ask, have you come as a friend or as an enemy? And these are the people who kept Hussein and his children and women thirsty for 3 days. And this is what I would say, that remember the example of Hussein ibn Ali. The way he treated even those who were not from his own group. And this is where we have to realize, especially I would say, and this is not only for our people, whoever is, you know, listening to this message, organizers of the Azadari of Hussein ibn Ali, the volunteers, wherever you are, if you are part of that process, you should realize every Azadar of Hussein who comes to your place, he is your guest and you are the host. If you think of it that way, we will not hear the complaints that we hear. That I was mistreated, you know, in a bad way because I was, you know, of a different kind. No. Remember the Bani of the Majlis, the volunteers of the Majlis, the organizers of the Majalis, wherever they are, that you are the host and the Azadar of Hussein is your guest. And that is how you should basically look at this process. And remember that if you kindly treat the guests who are actually the guests of Fatima al-Zahra, the the ajr and sawab and the reward will from her. And so keep that in mind, and inshallah, we will be able to really, you know, live up to the standards that Hussein ibn Ali has shown to us. The standards of humanity, of Islam, and tashayyu in the real sense. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our tawfiqat and always keep us among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وعمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة ابن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. محي آثار البدو والطغيان، هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق، حاسد فر البغي والشقاق، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج، واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه، واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.